You have been given the exact perfect measure of grace, the perfect measure of faith needed to exercise the gift that God has placed in. You are God's gift.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello, everyone. Okay, I've got a question for you. Have you ever thought of yourself as a gift? No? Well, in our study today, from the Epistle of Ephesians, Pastor Bill shows us from the Word, you are God's gift. All right, now, let's join the study.
Your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin this morning in verse 7. Ephesians has been and is and will continue to be an incredible study. To me, it's my favorite. You know, I say that about every book I teach. It's my favorite book. But Ephesians is so incredible. And last Sunday, remember, we laid the foundation and we learned how to have a worthy walk of our calling, I should say, before the Lord, and how we have to do all those things. So we have learned our doctrinal position, chapters 1, 2, and 3. We know who we are in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now, when we started chapter 4 last Sunday, we now start walking out the wealth and the riches that we have in Christ, meaning our position, our practice. Now, remember this. These chapters 4, 5, and 6, our position, our walk, remember that we didn't call ourselves. God called you. He called me. No church or no person, rather, or institution can call man. Only God has done that. So Paul says in verse 1, remember, I beseech you therefore, brethren, you know, he says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthy of the calling, it says, with which you were called. Now, verses 1 through 16, our call to unity, okay? So to walk worthy, remember the word worthy means two things of equal weight. It's a picture of a set of scales. So you have on this side, you have doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3. On the other side, you have chapters 4, 5, and 6. If you only know doctrine and you don't do your practice, then you're not balanced. And you have an imbalanced walk with Christ. And that's not what God wants at all. So we hear the word and then we do the word. Now, to know doctrine, meaning your position, and not practice it, oh, loved one, listen, your walk is just swaying back and forth and you're prey to every wind of doctrine. Now, we've learned in verses 1 through 6 of the sevenfold unity that we have in God, in Christ Jesus. Now, we have been called to oneness, but we have not been called to sameness. We are all different. Praise the Lord. You don't lose your identity. You say, but you know what? It's unity, but it's also in diversity is the body of Christ. Now, with all that being said, thank God we're not all cookie-cutter images. We're all different, but we're still in the same body. Now, with all that being said, I want to read two verses to you, then I'll give you the title of the sermon this morning, which is very important that you embrace it and you hear it, okay? So look at verse 7, and it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended, meaning Jesus, when Jesus ascended upon high, when he went back home to the right hand of God, he led captivity captive, and look what Jesus did. He gave gifts to man. Say that with me. Jesus gave gifts to you, to man. What a wonderful thing. Now, listen very carefully. The title of this sermon is this, You Are God's Gift. I pray that sinks into your heart. You are God's gift, and you're God's gift. Listen now, to the body of Christ. Now, look at what it says again. To each one, it says, or each one of us, every Christian, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. For every believer to walk worthy of their calling, we have to understand the way that the body of Christ has to function or how it functions on earth. We don't determine our function. God's Word does. In other words, the sole head of the church, Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, He determines our function, our place, and so forth. So the ascended Christ, He did something. It says He is the giver of a variety of gifts unto those that belong to Him. Oh, man, that is a great word, meaning His church. Each member of His body, He personally, Jesus, has gifted. Now, we're not talking about natural talents or natural giftings. That's just not what it means at all. These are supernatural. You say, well, Bill, when did that happen? Well, of course, the moment you were born again. But those gifts became available. Well, what did it say? Remember in Acts, I think it's 2:33, I'm not for sure there. It says when Jesus, that whom they crucified in Peter's sermon, it says that whom God has exalted to the right hand of God, poured out this which you now see and hear, meaning the gift, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who distributes those gifts as He wills to the body of Christ. But they all come from our Lord. So look at Ephesians 4:7 again. You are Christ's gift to the body of Christ. But to each one of us, look what was given. Grace was given, and look how this unmerited, unearned, divine favor of God was given. It was given, it says, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now listen, right now in your homes, right now in your cars, right now, wherever you are across this land, Calvary, listen to me. You should be shouting with all of your heart. Jesus Himself has given you a gift. What an incredible, a supernatural gift given from Christ to us. Now listen, but you say, well, Bill, that grace is talking about something unmerited faith, meaning our salvation. No, loved one. That's not talking about salvation at all here, because the Ephesians, they're already saved and we're already saved. No, man, listen, each believer has been given freely a gift from Christ by the grace of Christ, the grace of God. You didn't earn it. You can't learn it. Well, you can learn about it, but you can't. You didn't go to school for it or any of those things. No, Jesus gave it to you. You have been gifted personally by Jesus for service in the body of Christ. There are those that I hear sometimes, and they say, I don't have a gift. This right here just rebuked you. You do have a gift. Man, listen, not only that, if you do not have a spiritual gift, that means you're not a Christian. It also means that you can never walk worthy of your calling. And look at your gift again in verse 7. It says that the gift that Jesus has given unto you is a measured gift. It's been given to you according to the measure of Christ's gift. The Bible says in Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12:11, that He distributes these gifts as He wills, not when man wills, but when God wills. Loved one, listen, your gift, think about it now. You have a gift, whether you believe it or not, or know it or not, or don't know what it is. Your gift operates in the exact or from the exact measure of God's grace that He has given unto you. See, Jesus has apportioned unto you exactly what you need for your gift to operate perfectly. So to walk in the measure of grace of Christ's gift is the adventure, And the greatest thing we can do is discover the gift that God has given unto us. You never will discover that gift unless you step out and start serving the body of Christ. That's what we're called to do. You know, I had no idea. You know, a pastor is a gift from God, okay? I know you might not think me as a gift, but I really am a gift from God. That's what the Bible teaches. See, I didn't realize that I was going to be a pastor when I first stepped out into ministry. You know, Becky and I, we had no idea we were going to start planting churches and pastor churches and all those things. No idea at all. But here's the thing about that. It wasn't me. I could never do anything like that. No, see, I do so only by the gift that Jesus has given unto me, and I do so only by the measure of grace that he's apportioned unto me. I have everything I need to do whatever God has called me to do because I am God's gift. I am God's gift. You are God's gift to the body of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, the manifestation, the visible gifting that God has given unto you, is given to each one, every believer, it says, for the profit of all, for the profit of the entire body of Christ. Listen, you are in the body of Christ. You are God's gift to the body. Isn't that amazing? You ever thought of it like that? You're God's gift. Now listen, the gift, again, that God has given unto you enables you to accomplish whatever God wants accomplished in his body. Now, if you don't exercise, or if you don't discover your gift, exercise your gift, it's not going to help anybody. It's never going to help the body of Christ. Now, listen carefully. No one can replace you. You are unique. You are a perfect gift in the body of Christ. Man, God doesn't have any junk in the body of Christ, loved one. No. I look and I say, oh, Lord, I know that no one can replace you. No, listen, if you don't use your gift, then the whole body suffers. The whole body suffers. Instead of it being like it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, that each one for the profit of all, meaning for the body of Christ, it means it's going to be for the loss of all. Now, that measure of grace, because I know that every time you come to grace in the Bible, you probably automatically think, I'm saved by grace, and you certainly are. God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. We didn't deserve it, but God sent his only begotten son to die for us. Now, but if you study it out properly, let me just give you a few scriptures about this measure of grace to help do what God's called us to do. Romans 1:5, it says, through Jesus, we have, present tense right now, we have received grace, not salvation, loved one. That's not what this is speaking of. We could read it this way. We have all received measured grace and apostleship. Did you catch that? That's the ministry he was called, Paul's called to. And it says, for obedience to the faith to all nations. That was the purpose. Whenever the disciples were gathered together, man, and the Holy Spirit was moving in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, oh, now the multitude, meaning maybe over 20,000 people now that have been saved. It says the multitude of those who believed, they were one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say anything of the things that he possessed was his own. They had all things in common, different ages, different races, children, men, old people, young people, all of those people together, backgrounds, you know, oneness, not sameness, loved one, unity and diversity and all those things. Now listen to what happened. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Great power, signs and wonders and so forth. How did they do it? It says because there was a great grace upon them. A great, huge measure of grace to accomplish what they accomplished. You have that same measure of grace right now in your lives. Listen to another one, Romans 15:15. He says, brethren, I write to you more boldly. He says, reminding you because of the, Paul says, the grace given to me by God. Not salvation. This unmerited favor, this measure of grace, what would it be for, Paul? Listen to what he says. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel. That was the measure of grace to Paul's gift that God gave unto him. Paul's enablement. Now listen, I know you're locked in, sheltering in place. I know how difficult it is right now, but the word of God is precious and we need it. We need to believe it. You might be sheltering in place, and I know you are, but you're still God's gift. You're God's gift to the body of Christ. Listen, right now we are in a war, loved one. Our minds are under such severe attack. I understand that. I know that I'm fighting the same battle that you're fighting. Believe me, I'm looking right now at a blank wall. I'm looking right now at empty seats. I understand. I do, believe me. But I know, and I feel you. I love you, and I know you're there. And I know you're listening. And I know that you know that we're going to win this battle. So you stand strong, guess what it says, Timothy, Paul, stand strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says here, that last scripture that I read to you, man, he says, listen, that measure of grace that extends all the way to the preaching of the good news to the Gentiles. One more here, or maybe a couple of more. 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Again, not salvation, that measure of grace to accomplish what God wants accomplished, because Paul was God's gift and you're God's gift. Listen to what he did. I'm a wise master builder, or an architect, if you will. And I laid the foundation and another will build upon it. So Paul's enablement there, the same for every Christian, the grace of God. He operated in the gift, that the measure that God gave unto him. Here's another one. Listen to this. Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing, those gifts that Jesus has given unto us, according to the grace given unto us, that measured amount of grace needed for your gift to operate. Listen to what it says now. Let us use them. Exercise your gift in the body of Christ. Listen, if you don't exercise your gifts, the gift that you don't exercise will help no one. And the Bible teaches that our gifts, we're stewards over them. They're not optional for the believer. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, a spiritual gift, not a natural gift, a supernatural gift if you're a believer, here it comes, minister it one to another as good stewards. See, you don't own that gift. Jesus gave you that gift, but you're a steward over it. A steward is someone who takes care of something that belongs to another. It also means we're going to give an account unto God for the gift that he has placed in us. You are God's gift. And he goes on and he says this. He says, as good stewards, and how did it happen? By the manifold grace of God. That divine measure that God has given unto you to operate in the gift that Christ has given unto you. Another one, Romans 12:3. For I say, though, through the grace, Paul says, given to me. There it is again, that measured amount of grace. It says, to everyone who is among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you should, but think soberly, here it comes, as God, not your ability, not my ability, as God has dealt or distributed to each one the measure, the divine measure of faith. Now, listen carefully. You have been given the exact perfect measure of grace, the exact perfect measure of faith needed to exercise the gift that God has placed in you. You are God's gift. Jesus doesn't have any junk in the body of Christ. Do you understand? Every believer that's in Christ's body, he is the head, we are the body. Every believer is a gift. Man, listen, my body, you see my body? If you don't think my heart isn't a gift to me, let it stop beating. Oh, Lord, don't let that happen. You know what I mean? No, listen, it's a gift. It's a gift of life. It keeps me going. I want it. I need it. That's a gift. You're a gift. You are the gift of God. Therefore, you believer, listen to me now, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a famine, good times, bad times, it doesn't matter. You're without excuse for not using your gift. Now look at verse 8. It says, therefore, based on what we know now, okay? Therefore, Paul writes, he says, meaning literally the Spirit says or God says, and he's getting ready to quote Psalm 68:18. Therefore, he says, when Jesus ascended on high, look what he did. He led captivity captive, and look what he did. He gave gifts. Jesus gave gifts. You have a gift from the Lord. He gave gifts unto men, meaning to his church. So Paul does something. He quotes Psalm 68:18 for a reason, to give us, the believer, a perfect picture of what this difficult verse really means. And this picture, Psalm 68, by the way, 18, is a messianic psalm, okay? So when Paul quotes it, he's giving us a picture of the ascended Savior, triumphant, if you will, forevermore. It's a picture of a military leader who has conquered all of his enemies, and he's leading the spoils of war in front of them. They're all in chains, if you will. And what did Jesus, that procession, he defeated man's greatest enemies. They are defeated, man. They're in captivity now. Sin, death, hell, the grave. Oh, loved one. Man, they're all taken care of. Jesus defeated them all. So that which held us captive, Jesus says, now you're in captivity. Listen to what it says about the Lord. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed, or Jesus disarming, here it comes, principalities of power, Satan, the demons, all of them. He said he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them. In other words, a public parade, like a triumphant general. It says triumphing over them in it, it meaning, of course, the cross. Loved one, listen. What held us holds us no more. Man, we are in Christ Jesus. He tasted death for us. He died for us. And loved one, praise God, as that song was singing a minute ago, and we're waiting for him to come for us. Now look at verse 9. Now this, and I want you to catch a very difficult verse. Now this, he ascended, meaning Jesus who ascended. He goes, Paul says, now what does that mean? Great question, Paul. What does that mean but that he also did something else? He first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now he, Jesus, who descended is also the one, you see the capital O? That's speaking of our Lord. He is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. And look at the reason, that he might fill all things. Jesus Christ is the supreme head of all of the universe. He is the sole supreme head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him which fills all in all. And loved one, you are in the body of Christ. You are God's gift to his body. The body of Christ. That's how important you are. Now, there's a million interpretations, loved one, on these verses, verse 9 especially, verse 9 and 10. And, you know, some teach that when Jesus descended, speaks of him leaving heaven, coming to earth, his incarnation. They tie that in with Philippians, you know, chapter 2, the great kenosis passage, verses 6 through 11 and so forth. And also some teach that, well, the lower parts of the earth, they are Hades and so forth. And that's where he descended to. And, you know, if you read, for example, 1 Peter 3:18 through 20, it talks about that Jesus preached to the spirits in Hades. You can't get away from that. And so, but you'd have to go get that sermon to know what that means, okay? It also says in Acts chapter 2:31, Peter says, but you know what? Jesus, God said, no, I will not leave his soul in Hades. Now, Hades, what is that? Well, if I understand the Bible correctly, that's Hades to the believer would be paradise, okay? Hades has three compartments. It's called Abraham's bosom. On this side, you have the believers that believed in God. On the other side, well, you have those that are in torment, okay? Underneath that, there's a place called Tartarus. That's where I believe the Bible teaches that those horrible demonic things from Genesis chapter 6, they're housed there waiting for their judgment. Now, with all that being said, there are those that teach that Jesus did descend into the lower parts of the earth. I personally believe that. The Bible says that it does. And he did speak to the righteous ones, the ones that believe to the Lord. And I believe that when he led captivity captive, that's who he took back to heaven with him, or were the saints that were there. Remember what Jesus said? He says to the guy on the cross, the two thieves, he says, today you will be in paradise with me. And that's exactly where Jesus went. Now, some teach that Jesus, he didn't go to paradise, he went to hell. I don't believe that at all. Not at all. I believe the Bible is very clear where Jesus went. But here's one thing we know for sure. When Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he ascended upon high, loved one, he gave every one of us a gift and a measure of grace to operate in that gift.
Well, there's much more to this study, so please join us tomorrow to hear the rest of the message. And in the meantime, we pray that you have a marvelous day. Thank you for listening, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.